This episode of the Inner Hole Uprising is sponsored by Native. Welcome to the Inner Hole Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City and whose pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rodeca, a fat black pansexual who probably cries too much and uses humor to distract everyone from the fact that we are currently living in the darkest timeline. And my pronouns are she and her.
Noice. Okay, so every episode of Inner Hole Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-host talk to folks about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we'll be hitting you with interviews with insightful folks. This episode, we're talking about how to ghost and let people know you're only down to fuck, but with care.
Ooh.
The new bill that's been introduced in Congress to study the safety of sex workers. Dating people who complain too fucking much, biphobia, what to do when niggas start having sex right in front of you at work, battling back against self-deprecation, and much more.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoleUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to. So to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. We're going to start with Ho of the Week. And this week, we have two Hoes of the Week. The first one is Camille. She became a patron on Patreon. And in the spirit of last week, since I accidentally called Terrell T. Ray Ray, I figured I would give everybody a nickname now.
That's cute.
So Camille, your nickname is Chameleon here, Chameleon there, tougher than Nigerian here.
Man, it's such a good...
This is the longest nickname.
And then, like, the Wade said, it's just like, Chameleon here.
Well, because it's a name. Yeah, I'm not gonna wrap it.
It's true.
I'm not going to hire Lil Wayne to come and say Camille's new nickname. I'm just going to say
that's great.
It. Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it. Chameleon here, Chameleon there, tougher than Nigerian here. I hope you appreciate it. Thank you for becoming a patron. And then we have Sydney D, who, honestly, if you know me, you know what her nickname is about to be. But drum roll, please. It's Sid D's Nuts.
It's got to be honest.
Like, why wouldn't it be?
It has to be.
Is literally her. That is what her parents
Sydney
actually
D
named.
Nuts. Like, that's all that was missing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're good.
So, Sydney, we hope that you appreciate that nickname, because I get that one is a little bit more touchy. But Sydney's Nuts wrote us a letter letting us know about her recent accomplishment in nabbing a grad school interview.
Wow.
On the heels of what was a very trying year for her. And she said that she really appreciated your advice to not overthink things.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Sydney's Nuts. We are so very proud of you.
We are.
So excited. If you would like to be a Hoe of the Week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can donate to us on PayPal at paypal.me/innerhoe. You can become a patron on patreon.com/innerhoeuprising. You can shout us out in an article you've written or on your social media platforms. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher. You can purchase some merchandise on innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise. And you can find the links to that in the show notes. So yeah, become a Hoe of the Week and get a cool nickname.
Yeah, you want that nickname.
I think you do. Nickname. More so, I would like to give you that nickname because I like
You'll
to
be
make
blessed.
Fun.
Please.
Blessed.
Let us anoint you with
bless
the nickname.
The fuck up. All right, self-care tip of the week. So this week I came across an Instagram profile by a person who is a sex positive poet, and as they call themselves, Fweek. Instead of freak.
Oh.
Fweek.
Okay.
Fweek of the Week. Their name is What's Wrong with Molly Margaret on Instagram. And they have these texting templates for how to deal with potentially awkward sexual and romantic conversations and how you can put certain identifiers on your dating app profiles.
Was this the ghosting one that you posted?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I love that.
Somebody was talking about ghosting somewhere and somebody was like, Molly Margaret has a really good thing about what to do when someone has ghosted you. And I'll just read the template. So the ghoster says, LOL, yeah. Typical ghoster.
That's all they do.
That really do be the last thing these motherfuckers say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rob is in the building, in case you hear their voice.
They are
in
the background.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rob.
So the ghoster says, LOL, yeah. And then it has to be that voice. And the ghostie says, hey, how was the rest of your work yesterday? And then 2 days later, the ghostie says, what's up? Doing anything tonight? This triggers me.
It hurts.
Today, whatever today is, the ghostie says, hey there, I can tell I'm not going to hear from you anymore. I just wanted to say I really liked getting to know you and thought you were great. It hurts my feelings that you couldn't communicate what's going on. That being said, I wish you the best.
And that's incredible. I mean, it hurts because I'm thinking like, God,
it's like when
damn.
You cry at a sad movie, but it feels cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just think I should keep texting or I shouldn't say anything at all, you know, but yeah. To just end it and kind of throw it back on them and be like, I can literally see, I can see you, bro. Like this is the LOL. Yeah. I see you.
Yeah. Self-closure. That is exactly what it is. Self-closure.
Because it's like, at this point, you're not going to give it to me. So I'm just going to let you know how I felt. This had nothing to do with me.
Right. And instead of talking to your therapist about it on BetterHelp for the past 4 weeks. What?
Yeah. What?
Huh?
Did you say something?
What?
Okay.
Or putting this actual picture in your Instagram, hoping that the person who ghosted you would see it. Wait, what? Huh?
Okay. there's something going on in the room, like your thoughts are coming
sweating
out
profusely right now.
Nah, it really in that situation, that person hadn't answered for like 5 days, so they're just being a dick. Mm-hmm. But if someone's not answering you, mm-hmm. don't just like come at them. I think this is just like a, all right, I don't know what's going on, this is how I feel.
Yeah,
I'm not attacking you, I'm doing this for like in an amicable way.
Yeah
Good point. And I think there's just like a good way to go about it. It's not aggressive.
So it's not fuck you, nigga.
Yeah.
Missing out.
Because you could also be wrong. What if that, I was going to say, what if that person's dead?
You know how often I fucking think about that
sign? Yeah. But like, what if the person is going through something? Sometimes
people
which
I'm
like,
sure.
Yeah. And you honestly should provide an explanation, even if you're going through something. There's times that like I see messages, I look at it and like I can't. You reach back out and you say something, but sometimes people aren't able to do it. So that's a nice way to just like segue out of someone's life.
Yeah.
Leave it like
for your
clean.
Own personal closure.
Sometimes when you say something really rough afterwards, you're like, damn, was I in my bag? Like that's just the texting templates, I think, are really like smooth.
Instead of like having your group chat crafted for you and then it ends with fuck you, nigga. This is not a real thing, though.
Oh, I thought that it was. I was about to say, this is a third time, bro. I can't keep excusing these.
The other
these.
Two things were real, but I have
but
not
reached out. But sometimes,
yeah,
your group chat, you're like, fuck this nigga, and like you come up with your own assumptions.
It's like a snowball.
Yeah. And it's just like, it's not worth it. It's never worth it. Even if they're a fucked up person, it's just not worth even expending your energy.
That's a good point.
So when I read that, I immediately was like, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It's kind of like a fuck you, but...
In a
very nice way.
Yeah. And then, so she has all kinds of things.
Okay.
She has another one that's like, if you were thinking about ghosting someone. So this one is, let me open this one. The jazzed up person says, I had a lot of fun on our date last night. Can we do it again soon? Maybe Thursday? Pasta emoji, wine emoji. And then the not so jazzed up person says, hey, thanks for drinks and coming to my neck of the woods. Beer emoji. Emojis are not necessary, but to be honest, I didn't feel a romantic spark, so I just don't think it would be right for us to go out again. Best of luck out there and have a good night. And then the jazz person says, thanks for your honesty. I really appreciate that. Keep fighting the good fight.
Fist that emoji. Was nice, too.
Yeah.
I don't like the emojis. It seems like someone's posing as someone who's a millennial, and
it's the
somehow,
fucking circle.
Yeah,
it's the circle.
It's
on
odd,
Netflix.
But
message, wine emoji, fist emoji, beer emoji, send.
And no one does that ever. But I appreciate that too, because I think maybe not even I think I know for sure there's been times that I don't know how to reject someone,
right,
at all,
right.
So I may lead people on.
Mm.
I'm admitting it, y'all. Am I doing that right now?
Ooh.
Who is this person speaking all of Sam's thoughts in the corner? Are you?
Yeah, I think so.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Uh-oh. And now I have Molly Margaret. That's why I wanted this to be the self-care tip of the week.
Because you're sometimes you're in both positions and you just don't know what to do.
Yeah. So then Molly Margaret has these template dating app profiles.
Oh.
Thought this one was good. So this is what bio template to communicate that you're recently single and just looking for sex. So it says Molly Margaret, 27, 4 miles away, heartbroken and horny. Single sad slut looking for the same. DTF, but certainly not DTC. And then in parentheses it says commit.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was, I like this.
Yeah.
That was me when I first got out of my relationship, but mine was like weirdly aggressive. It was like, I'm not with that relationship shit. I'm just trying to have a good time.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that.
It doesn't have to be that. That was cute. Mine was not.
Although I do appreciate the fact that you like said it in the first place.
Oh, straight
some
up.
People just like.
I was like, just literally just got out of a relationship. Not with that long shit. Just trying to have fun and meet new people and see where it goes.
I do wish niggas would put that and be upfront about that instead of ghosting you and then deleting their Hinge, even though they had just broke up with their ex 9 days before we started talking. Oh my God. Anyway. Wow.
What? Wait. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, these are trash.
Oh boy. Here's another good one that I like. So this is a dating app bio template to communicate that you're recently out.
Ooh.
Molly Margaret, 27, 7 miles away. Here and queer, in parentheses, finally, exclamation point. Newly out queer cutie looking for hot dates and romance. What I lack in experience, I make up for in enthusiasm.
That's good. I feel like I'm relating hard, like really hard to all of these things. Because
yeah, they're all really, yeah. really relatable yeah. things and yeah. things that, you know, we've all wanted to communicate at some point.
Yeah, because I told you how I was talking to like someone who has been out their entire life and they were like, well,
nobody
no one likes a
baby gay.
Yeah. And that kind of pushed me back in the closet. For
yeah,
a little while.
I like that she said that.
I
to
know.
You.
Every time I say it to you, like, no.
I just don't like her in general, though.
I know.
It's I don't
true.
Even remember this person's name, but like,
the
she has two strikes
there.
In my book. Yeah, fuck that bitch.
Yeah, it's true. I was really like, oh,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
here we go. You know. But who? Yeah,
and then
know.
What were you supposed to do?
Like die. Die. And I did for a little. But yeah, that's all it was. There was no encouragement behind that. That was just
that's like when niggas don't want to hire you because you got no job.
Exactly. That's all it is.
Like, where do we go from here? Yeah, I guess you just die. Yeah. It's like
yeah.
that fucking
I guess
that
I'll
old
die.
Man. Yeah. So that's Molly Margaret. I encourage you all to check out her profile and her texting templates. She's also like super cute. But yeah, check those out. I think they're good. There's like one about polyamory, one about being upfront about your HSV status. Like if you have herpes, HSV
okay.
1 or 2. Yeah, they're good.
The polyamory one, I think I might have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Because
you should have that conversation immediately. Is it
you
like,
polyamorous, nigga?
Nah, you know. A girl can dream, man. A girl can dream.
Okay. We are going to head into our current event segment, and that is called
Fuck That.
And today we are discussing sex in the snack aisle, gas station faces possible closure over porn video. Sex in the snack aisle is a great title.
It's amazing.
Thank you to Ohio News 4 for bringing that joy to my life. Some of the facts of this story. So there is a gas station called the 35th Hometown Gas Station in Milwaukee. In Milwaukee's Roosevelt Grove neighborhood. The porn was filmed by a popular porn creator by the name of Frederick Allen, or as you may know him as Fella the Turnip Monster.
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew him as well, yes.
Wow.
Or Fella Run It All on Twitter.
Fella Run It All.
Rob knows this nigga. Not personally. Well, do you? I don't know. well, I don't know after this, but he's also on OnlyFans and Snap, so you might know him there. I don't know what his ads are. And he's a Pornhub certified user and uploaded this porn that he took in a local gas station in July of 2018. So now let's talk about the porn in question. So I wanted to give you the option to watch it live.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Fuck
I'll give you the link. So Rob and Rodeca are they're in process of watching what this
crazy
porn.
Up in here, bro.
Why is it that crazy already? what's happening?
The thumbnail is just
wild.
Oh yes,
in the middle of the chips aisle.
I don't know thumbnail. What I was expecting. Like you described
it. So describe the thumbnail.
So the thumbnail, y'all, is just very. It's a wide angle.
Yes, it's quite wide.
think of an aisle, but. Yeah, just think of an aisle and there's people on the ground with a blanket, a black blanket. I know this wig, so she has.
I too have seen that. She has the black, beauty store
pink,
wig.
Gradient wig on with no part. We all know that. Sometimes it'd be like that. No, actually, that has a part, so good for her.
Trying to play my sister.
Yeah, and I'm not even trying to play her, yo. This is a typical like 7-Eleven gas station setup with the bulletproof glass and everything.
Yes.
So I'm going to press play. Oh, there's a man behind her doing doggy style. They both have socks on. Now you guys get to see how like fucking childish I am.
Doing doggy.
Doing the doggy style. So he starts with advertising himself on Instagram and Snapchat.
As he always does.
And Twitter.
Yes.
Okay, so he's out here on YouTube
as
well.
He's also a rapper.
Young fella. Okay. Wow, his Facebook. Ooh, okay. So it starts off. Sis is shaking her ass in the aisle. No draws. Oh, and he's jerking off in the corner. Oh, shit. Okay. Hey, what the robe? My son got the robe on.
So I was just like, the robe is an interesting choice.
Fly as fuck.
Kicks on.
He has Converses and a robe.
He's stroking it, and then he just threw the robe off all Galleon style. I think this is his song.
His song is
playing. You know, this is not bad. He looks at the camera and decides to smile for us.
He's
cute. He's a handsome guy.
Her butt is really nice.
She does have moving. A nice butt.
I don't know how to describe the sound.
Wadoom, wadoom, wadoom.
Do I fast forward? Do I watch the whole thing?
No, it's only six minutes, so you can, long. Yeah.
Okay, he's just jerking off.
Yeah, I mean, this is slow motion now. It's kind of like a music video style thing going on.
I had the exact thought. I was like, I've never wanted to fast forward through a porn until
he's
I watched
not hard
this.
Yet. Maybe he's nervous. Oh shit. My son. Okay, so now it's cut to him dancing in the aisle with his robe on.
Yeah.
Just kind of did a little two-step. It almost seems like
Rob
the beginning of the vid now.
So it restarted. So he did this like full slow motion thing, and I don't know why he did that. And I
it
did
was
not
the
like
intro,
it.
I think.
Why the fuck?
I think he was trying to get you hype.
I didn't get hype. I actually hated all of that.
I didn't. And then Sam knows what's happening, so she's just sitting here like, "You're gonna be tight." And he's pissing me off a little bit because he reminds me of like people I knew in high school.
He reminds me of a nigga I don't like.
Yeah, and he's just
wait,
like,
"What are you saying?"
She backed up, and then he was like, "Yo, don't back up that far." He made her go. Whoa.
Yeah, he did. He's directing. He's positioning her. He's positioning her.
The gas station
there
niggas
are gas station are niggas in, fact, in the back. In the back, yes.
Oh, now he's dancing again. He's not getting hard yet, so it's a little
not
long.
Getting hard yet? He's just tugging at his dick.
Yeah.
The old rub and tug.
The old rub and fucking.
He's
tug.
Watching it.
He does have performance anxiety.
It's tough. I still can't imagine. You know.
And it didn't need to happen, though. You know,
it's like, true. it's like you feel for him, but it's also like, wait a minute,
you didn't
you
have to
did
do
this.
Any of right.
This
so
is your setup.
Your
I'm in your world now.
Sure.
It would be different if it was like impromptu sex. Like they started kissing some shit. They bumped into some chips.
But it's just like it's so corny to me that these niggas like pulled up to a gas station in the middle of the aisle.
Yo, it's okay if we fuck.
He pulled up with the
more
robe.
More on that later.
With Chucks
the robe.
On.
The fucking fit. The fit to me was trash. Honestly,
no clothes underneath.
On, like, this nigga looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Dress, which is really pissing
she
me
does
off.
Have. A, she does have a Dollar Tree dress.
It's like it's nothing wrong with it, but if we're doing a porn in a
this
gas
is a
station,
porn, right?
You know, all of this could have been edited out. Oh my god, my son threw the robe on the floor.
He did throw the robe on the floor for what reason?
So that they can fuck on it.
Yes,
and
because,
he is now
okay.
Getting
pause
ready
it for
to
a
mount
second.
Her. Hold on,
he
let me pause.
Getting
it.
Ready to mount her. This nigga is fucking the funniest nigga.
I'm sorry, y'all. This is what I think of as I watch porn. That is my internal monologue.
So
more on that later.
I just like. Personally, I just like I hate just pure penetrative porn.
Yeah.
And that might just be because like penetration doesn't really get me off. Like clitoral stimulation does and like penetration for to a very smaller extent. But like this nigga's just rubbing and tugging his dick. He touches her pussy once.
Once.
And it's just like that
kind
fucking
to get the warmth and for himself.
Right. I don't even know what that was.
Yeah.
Was it lube? Was it to get him more horny? I don't know what
it was.
I don't know what
it was like to check to see if she's wet. I think sometimes that happens in porn.
She ain't wet enough.
There's no way.
She's not fucking wet enough.
There's no way.
And then like he tries to like put it in her as she's standing and she's like, no. Nah. And that's why he takes his robe off and they do it on the floor.
Yeah.
It's just like,
so they had no plan.
There was no plan. And it's just very like him centric.
Yeah, I definitely.
It's the most narcissistic thing I've ever.
Well, you saw her back.
Exactly.
It's narcissistic because he's literally staring in the camera and laughing and smiling.
I think like the whole thing is like, oh, it's supposed to be security camera footage, but it's your phone. Like you're touching it. We see that it's your phone. We all know, nigga. Continue.
He's trying to vignette the fucking frame. So it looks like.
Yeah, it's a gas station. All right. Now he's thrusting. Ugh.
Pause.
And then
why
he
are
turns
you making these faces?
Back
God, he's looking at
because
like
he turns back
smiling.
To look at the camera and smile.
Yeah,
and yeah,
it's very narcissistic.
Well, I don't want to watch him on porn anymore.
All right, well they're doing it. The guy behind the bulletproof glass is just pacing back and forth.
So I don't know if you were able to hear this. Is it on silent?
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
now they just move back over, and it looks like they're watching them.
They are. Pause. So. The owner standing behind the glass and he says something, but I wasn't able to make it out. And then Fred is just like, huh? And then they just keep fucking.
Oh.
That's weird.
It's all weird. Continue.
What grocery stores? I'm like looking at the snacks now. That's bad.
They're really just watching.
I would watch. I'd fucking watch. You're having sex in my store. At least I'm going to watch.
It's all you see is his back. Yeah. And his little butt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, true.
That is what you see.
Yo,
I mean, she's talking. She's talking nasty now. It's not bad.
I wonder if their dicks are hard. I mean, she's into it. But I wonder if the gas station niggas are like, I'm about to jerk off to this shit tonight.
More on that later.
I mean, you see a lot in your gas station. Do you see a lot of niggas fucking on a robe on the ground?
Oh, he nutting.
No, yeah, he's having a good time.
He nutted.
No, he's nutting.
He is nutting. Yeah.
Oh, in her. Okay.
Wow,
we're twinking out here.
That was a good 3 minutes.
Maybe
that was
even
3 minutes.
Less. Maybe 2 minutes.
She's laughing at him.
And they just
and that's
get
it.
Up. She did not. I
she
feel like
not
she did
come.
Not enjoy herself. She was
she
moaning,
did,
but I don't
she
think
come.
She did not come.
Did not
he
come.
Made no attempt to make her come. It was the worst porn I've ever seen in my life. And just like all this show and dance in this fucking gas station for that.
I want to say, I want to emphasize literal dance because my nigga
literally
two-stepped at
and
least
there was
twice.
There was also a song. So there
was
a literal song
in the beginning.
He did do the helicopter
do
with
the
his
helicopter
wee-wee.
Dick.
Yes. So yeah.
I'm retreating.
Rob is going back to the Horcrux corner.
I was watching to see if like another person was gonna come in for
right.
an element of excitement. Like I think Rob said it, they like if it was something, ooh, I can't help myself, I'm in this aisle, you know what I mean?
Right.
I could see that. Like a fake, oh, we just got caught or almost got caught, whatever. But like I hated
like,
that.
Like we're so horny
yeah,
that we
like,
need
we
to have
do
sex,
this.
But instead of like, let me really force myself
yeah.
to get hard and not even care if this person is wet or not and put down a robe because I didn't think about the logistics of this.
Even if this was recorded on a phone and you were like, I'm not going to edit it because I want to be real.
Mm-hmm.
On phones, they have this feature where you can slide the beginning or end of the video.
You can definitely
and,
edit
and just cut
videos.
Out certain parts, right? Yeah. The good.
It could have just been
two,
them fucking.
It could have just been straight up
yeah.
them fucking cut out
leave
the coming
more to
part.
The, leave more to the imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah,
cut
yeah.
out the end, cut out the beginning. And I'd be like, oh shit, like maybe it got better.
Yeah,
leave
yeah.
that for me.
Exactly.
Then I feel it
and
in.
Then I have an imagination.
But I know it didn't get better.
I know you nutted.
Watched,
I know what your face looked like when you nutted.
I watched Sis get
this
up
nigga looked
and
like
laugh.
He, it was the best nut of his whole life.
And she
and
got
it
up and
was
like, oh
long.
Shit, dead ass. Like,
oh
that's that shit that ends and the dude's like, nah, you didn't tell me you had good pussy like that, you know?
No, it's your fault.
It's your fault. Disgusted so and triggered.
You should have warned me, bro.
Oh my
that
shit, God.
That shit was a slippery slide, my nigga.
That shit was dripping and pouring and ripping and pouring.
My vagina is literally like usurping the fucking
and then you think
liquid.
About it afterwards and you're
getting
like,
less you're wet
like,
over time.
Am I wrong
for
wanting
my vagina? To like, be pleasured?
Yeah.
During
yeah,
sex?
No. That was terrible.
Okay, so this is not the first time that Frederick has done this. Some of his popular public sex porn titles include Sex at the Park While People Watch, Fucking My Stepsister Outside.
Is it the
I
same
pray
person?
To God. I don't know. I didn't want to go deep down his rabbit hole to find out. I assume it is, though. Lost the house keys, so we fucked in the hallway. Porch sex part two, sex outside the police station, and hallway sex part five with the door open.
Some of those weren't so bad.
Definitely didn't
watch the police station.
Rob enjoys some of them.
I like the locked out one.
Lost the keys, so we fucked in the hallway.
That was a good thing.
What was the part five?
Hallway sex part five with the door open.
I like that. That time they didn't even care about the keys. The door just opened.
Or his consistent partner.
Yeah,
which is cute.
I think it's usually the same person. Yeah. Here's where things get bad, though. Should I read this first? Okay, we can actually read the community reactions first. So Oklahoma News 4 did a story on this. I don't know why Oklahoma News did a story on this, even though this is Milwaukee, which is in Wisconsin, but sure, whatever.
Odd.
So they told people about it, and some of their reactions were, he had on nothing but a bathrobe, and I thought that was very funny.
He did also have shoes on. Let's get that correct.
He did have shoes on. One of the reporters was like, it was uploaded to Pornhub, and then the person was like, oh, I know Pornhub.
Oh, that? I be on it every day.
Yeah. We'll get more into this later, but an alderman got wind of this video, and in like his testimony, he says, keep in mind, it was right next to the chips and across from the sunflower seeds.
Not the sunflower seeds.
All right, so more about Frederick. This is where things get bad. I'm going to give a very quick trigger warning, not going into any details, but a content warning for the next 10 seconds. So Frederick was also charged with statutory rape after police discovered a minor in one of his videos, but the charges were dropped after witnesses backed out. Also, in 2018, at a traffic stop, or after a traffic incident, he assaulted a teenage boy.
So he's an asshole.
He's the dickhead that he looks like.
He looks, and to be honest
he's
with
the
you,
actual narcissistic.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Yes.
And I looked at him and I was like, I don't like you. And I was hoping maybe the stroke game would like make up for that. And then it didn't. So yeah, I really didn't like him.
I have watched some of his videos
sometimes
before.
It'd be on par.
And yeah, sometimes it is on par. Okay. It's not like my particular lane of porn. So I feel like you've probably watched more than me. But from what I've seen,
pretty okay.
When he is pleasuring the woman.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice that does happen because he didn't seem like the type.
Huh? Oh, so he kept going. Unlike this.
This one they got up like, nah.
Okay, so let's talk about the ramifications of this, because this is not legal, you know?
Yes.
So he uploaded this video to Pornhub and literally called it 35th and Townsend Gas Station Surveillance Video Leak. First of all, he's lying because it's his fucking phone and we all know it's his phone and you can see that it's his phone. But sure, porn titles lie all the time. That's not your stepsister.
True.
That's not your fucking mom. Whatever. But the fact that he actually dropped nickels and dimes on this gas station. What the fuck? Like, why did you even do that? It could have just been gas station.
Could have been any gas station.
That's very, you're catering to a very specific population of people.
Such a small niche,
in this neighborhood. Like, what?
Because that means nothing to me.
Oh,
35th and
I would have just thought it was as fake as the fucking surveillance part. I would have been like, this is not a gas station.
Oh, 35th and Townsend, I gotta see this. They got the sunflower seeds.
Pulling their fucking dicks out immediately.
What if other people come there now and to fuck?
Okay. We will get into this.
Oh,
so,
God.
An alderman is another word for councilman. I just want to say that in case you don't know what an alderman is. So an alderman in this community was sent the Pornhub link by one of his constituents. So this exact thing kind of happened. Somebody was like, oh, shit, I know that fucking gas station. I don't know why they then took it to send the link to the alderman. Like, did they do it before they nutted or after? Or that's something you should really think about.
They opened it, nutted, and said, whew, man, guess I should report this shit now, huh? Now that I've had my fun. Yeah. You know it's post-nut.
They should not
There's
be doing
no
that.
No way they didn't nut
They
first.
Should not be doing that. So I don't know how or why, Fred himself wasn't charged for this.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't?
No. I don't know how or why. I don't know if it's you can't prove. I don't know. I don't know. But the alderman, his whole fight has really been with the gas station owner.
Odd.
So in a clip on Ohio News 4, he says it was the owner. He was there. He was watching. He indulged. He didn't pick up the phone. He didn't call the police department. And they also note that one of his employees actually like recorded it. In response, the owner, Cool Want Dylan, says he told the licensing committee last summer because his license came under question after this. He said it was a mistake. He was afraid to call the police, but Alan had threatened him. And Dylan says, quote, that he said, if you're going to call the police, I will shoot you and I will burn your gas station too.
Yikes.
Frederick denies doing that, but also he beat a child and potentially raped a child.
So who knows?
There's a lot of levels.
Frederick does not seem like an honest man.
I don't believe this nigga.
I think that's what it is. He's not a believable person.
I just don't believe this nigga. But then the alderman is still like really fucking pissed and doesn't want to hear any of Dylan's story. And he said he was protected by bulletproof glass. So the idea that he was in fear, I take exception to that. Like, the nigga also said he was gonna burn down his gas station.
Like, both
it's a gas station. You know how fast that shit burns?
Like, literally, fire is the most scary thing.
Like,
in a gas
what?
Station. That was the
and
right
this nigga's just like, nah, I don't believe it.
You.
Even if I am behind a bulletproof glass, I don't want somebody fucking pulling out a gun. Nope.
Also, on the off chance that it's just like somebody sells me the wrong glass.
The owner is behind the bulletproof glass, but his employee wasn't.
Yeah.
You want me to sacrifice that nigga's life?
Like, I do
for
it.
For a porno?
Do it then.
The
shoot
fuck?
Me that nigga.
And like, he did watch. I would watch too. It's my store. I want to see if you fucking nut on the sunflower seeds or whatever. But he didn't indulge.
Yeah, it's not like he was standing there with his dick out.
His dick did not come
out. He was very much like standing there like any person would be like, excuse me? Is someone fucking on a robe in this aisle? It's not like he was like pressed against
the glass. And I feel like
the
other guy filmed it because like this is proof in case we do decide to like go forward with this. So the alderman hates this nigga for some reason. Very strange. Because the universe is so fucking weird. So his license came under a fire or whatever, or under question. There was a whole case and Dylan's lawyer tried to like get him off. So apparently after Frederick beat up the teenage boy, the teenage boy walked into a corner store and Dylan walked into a corner store behind him. And that corner store is owned by Dylan also.
Whoa.
Yeah. Very strange. So I don't know if he had like security camera footage or like eyewitness testimony or something like that. But they leveraged that and his license was they just like left him alone or whatever.
OK,
I guess the DA was like, OK, we can work out a deal here. If you help us with this case, then we'll.
Because he had the footage for the other one.
Will not pursue the issue with your license. But then the community asked the alderman to... Actually, the community made a petition. Mad people signed the petition, brought it to the alderman, and are specifically asking for this gas station to be closed. Like, for their license to be revoked. And the alderman was like, y'all already know I hate this nigga, so I'm gonna fucking pick up the fight again. I think they did, like, not renew their license. And the parent company of the gas station is suing the city.
This is odd.
This got so weird.
This is so
fast.
Are like, only thing is, what? Like,
none of this needed to happen.
And then none of the fire is towards the man in the robe.
It's very strange. It's all a very weird story.
As I'm watching this, I never once thought, man, the gas station owner is fucked up for allowing them to fuck on the floor. All I'm thinking is, this guy's
an
asshole.
Why is this nigga fucking on the floor?
I hate him.
Yeah.
What? This is a livelihood being, like, destroyed.
Multiple. That nigga has employees.
All because he literally put 35th and Townsend. I don't like this man. I'm so upset.
I'm gonna take back my nuts.
Me too. I was, like, disappointed that I ever jerked off to this. Not this.
I was saying, wait, Sam.
Jeez. You got to be in desperate times.
I mean,
you've never seen a porn in your whole life.
I had my moments where I was like, you know, because naked bodies, why not? You know?
Yeah, but that was like the least horny I've ever been watching a porn.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
The fact that I'm like, oh, is that Sun Chips? Like, if I'm doing that, then we're not, maybe I'm not really into it.
Sun Chips.
I was trying to figure out which aisle it was.
Ooh, Chile. I will also like to note that his Pornhub profile says that like there's a category for endowment and it says 9 to 10 inches. This nigga's fucking lying.
He's lying.
His nigga's dick is not 9 to 10 inches.
It's not small, but it's definitely not 9 to 10 inches. 9 to 10.
So stop.
I said 5 to 10.
You did say that. I was just gonna talk over you.
Definitely 5 to 10.
Yeah, it's like six or seven.
Yeah. Shout out to Dylan. I hope you beat the case, bro. I really do.
Rodeca.
Yes.
Did you know that many conventional deodorants contain aluminum, which forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating?
Yikes. No, I did not.
Yes, that's very yikes. It's pretty fucked up. Luckily, we all know about a deodorant alternative that does not do that.
Ooh.
Native is a deodorant and hygiene brand that is safe, smells good, and contains ingredients that you know. Native's deodorant is made without aluminum so you can feel better about what you're putting on your body and not plug your pores with metal. Native deodorant is also formulated without parabens or talc. It's vegan and never tested on animals. Their deodorant is made with ingredients you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. I mean, you wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand the ingredients list? And you might think, I mean, aluminum is bad, but won't I smell bad without it? Nope, that's not the case. Making the switch to an aluminum-free deodorant does not mean you have to sacrifice on performance. Native will keep you smelling and feeling fresh all day long. With over 10 scents, including their classics and rotating seasonals, you're guaranteed to find one that you love. Their classic scents include coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and eucalyptus and mint. I personally rock my coconut and vanilla pretty often. I am a sweaty, sweaty boy and a stinky, stinky boy. And luckily, when I wear these, I'm a sexy smelling boy.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like to have your pits smelling fresh and free of toxins, just wait to hear about what we've got in store for your mouth. Native is excited for the relaunch of their toothpaste line. Most natural toothpastes feel like natural toothpaste during brushing, gritty, little to no foaming, limited freshening power, and without the clean mouth feeling you expect after brushing your teeth. Native's toothpastes use a special blend of naturally derived cleansers, flavors, and white to deliver a great brushing experience without the trade-offs of other natural toothpastes. It whitens teeth, freshens breath, is enamel safe, and its fluoride versions prevent cavities. Native toothpaste is made without triclosan, sulfates, artificial preservatives, or parabens. Basically, not good stuff.
You can give the toothpaste a try, the deodorant a try, and all of Native's other fresh and safe for your body products at nativedeodorant.com. And for 20% off your first purchase, you can visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code IHU during checkout. Once again, head over to nativedeodorant.com, use the promo code IHU during checkout for 20% off your first purchase.
Woo!
Okay, now we are going to get into politics.
Ooh.
The mini segment where I run down a 2020 candidate's platform as it pertains to sex, gender, sexuality, reproductive rights, and race. And our candidate this week is actually Elizabeth Warren.
Nice.
You might ask, why is that? So we opened up the choice of who we're going to cover in this segment on our to our patrons on Patreon. Voting is open to all tiers, even if it's just $1 a month. So everyone voted for... not everyone, but like Elizabeth Warren won kind of by a long shot. So we're covering her over the next few weeks and we'll be talking about some of her policy points as they pertain to the things that I listed earlier. And I want to break it up over the next few episodes to make it more digestible instead of going over her whole entire thing.
Cool.
So today we're going to be talking a little bit about her criminal justice reform plans as they pertain to sex, love, dating, gender, race, all that. Her website has mad plans on it. Like, I've looked at a lot of these candidates' websites, and by far, she has the most links to click.
Wow.
I will say that.
Okay.
Not an indicator of anything in particular. There's just a lot of fucking plans. I'm not saying that that's bad.
She be planning.
Yeah, she do be planning, though. One of her bullet points under criminal justice reform is to change what we choose to criminalize. So she says things about marijuana, homelessness, unpaid parking tickets, which I think are all good things to decriminalize, mm-hmm. but she doesn't say anything about sex work.
Oh.
However, in a January 2019 interview, she declared, or maybe it was a press release, but she declared that her stance on the decriminalization of sex work is quote unquote open.
Better than it being closed, I guess.
That is a good point. I'm going to read the full quote. She says, "I'm open to decriminalization. Sex workers, like all workers, deserve autonomy, but they are particularly vulnerable to physical and financial abuse and hardship. We need to make sure we don't undermine legal protections for the most vulnerable, including the millions of individuals who are victims of human trafficking each year." So like I said with Julian Castro a couple of weeks ago, and in line with a lot of candidates, it seems like they're very scared of being pro-sex work because they're scared that people will conflate that, or they themselves are conflating that with sex trafficking.
Yep.
So it's just like, do and be better. And there are some things on the horizon. So she voted yes on SESTA. We've talked about FOSTA SESTA
a few times
on this show. Yeah.
Yeah.
But a quick refresher, in case your Google is not working, it is a bill that was proposed to help sex trafficking victims, but according to sex workers, has reportedly made conducting sex work very, very unsafe and just also very difficult. In late 2019, a member of the House of Representatives representing the state of Pennsylvania, Ro Khanna, who actually voted against FOSTA SESTA, one of the few who did, introduced the Safe Sex Worker Study Act, a bill enabling the National Institute of Health to study how FOSTA SESTA has impacted sex workers' safety, health, and proximity to violence, among other issues. That's
good.
Yeah, that's really good and important. You know, it sucks that sometimes people just don't listen to people, but sometimes you need data to move towards laws or repealing certain laws. So it's a really good first step that I think he put forward. And guess who's co-sponsoring that bill?
My good sis. Warren.
Yeah.
I'm saying my good sis. That's not political leaning in any way. I just call everybody
It was a good sis thing kind of deal. Yeah. However, this bill has yet to be voted on. So we'll see where that goes. Some other things under her criminal justice reform plan include increasing federal funding for law enforcement training. Some things she talks about are increasing training to address implicit bias and dealing with folks with cognitive disabilities. All good things. However, there are no specifics on LGBT specific training or sexual harassment. My mind always goes to the case of Daniel Holtzclaw and probably the many cases that we don't hear about very often of police officers like sexually assaulting people.
Yeah.
And even when it's not that drastic, sexually harassing people. Or like not even knowing, like, don't touch this person here because that's wrong. So it doesn't have anything on that. I'm not saying that she's open to or against that. It's just not there. On that same line, she plans to expand the responsible use of body cameras and protect citizens' privacy. So I think that that potentially could hold or create greater accountability when officers do sexually harass people. However, there's no outline of how she plans to ensure that body cameras are recording all of an officer's encounters all the time. Another thing outlined in her plan is protect the rights of survivors. She would like to fight to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act. I talked about this on the episode where we talked about Julian Castro, but to reiterate, that act puts funding towards investigation and prosecution of violent crimes against women, along with other protections to ensure that women obtain justice in these instances. So that act actually expired in early 2019 and has yet to be reintroduced in the past. Yeah. So that is something that she would like to do. She will also provide full funding to eliminate the rape kit backlog across the country. Last but certainly not least, under her plan, improving conditions in prison. So this is an exact quote from her website. "Vulnerable individuals like pregnant women, victims of domestic violence, people with disabilities, and LGBTQ+ individuals often require special protections while behind bars. I'll implement a rigorous auditing program to ensure that prisons are adhering to legal requirements to protect LGBTQ+ individuals and others from sexual violence and assault while incarcerated, and prosecute prison staff who engage in misconduct." That's good. "I'll ensure that juveniles are not housed in adult facilities."
All good causes.
Yeah, I thought that those were all good things. I think something that I felt was missing from Julian Castro's platform, and I think is also missing from her platform, is this staunch take on sex work. And I understand to a point why you might want to like be quiet about that, because it's not something with broad appeal. Which, like, fuck broad appeal, but, like, if you're trying to get elected, I understand, like, being tricky,
because someone can
easily, like, someone like Trump can easily be like, she's for sex trafficking, and then your whole fucking campaign is ruined.
Yeah.
But I hope if any of these people get elected that, you know, they really take time to look at this, because you can't, like, I started with criminal justice first for a reason, and that's like, you can't really address issues that are affecting LGBTQ people, especially when, like, we're going to talk about this later, but she has like a whole thing about trans women of color, and particularly Black trans women. Mm. But you can't eliminate the fact that, like, there's a lot of intersection with
sex worker.
And like, this is oftentimes like why they can be like, that's
it, there's it's why they're being killed sometimes.
A large percentage of sex workers who are killed and abused are Black trans women. So there needs to be some sort of like,
you can't address one without kind of addressing the other. Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly. So we'll see. That was Elizabeth Warren on criminal justice. I don't know when the next time we'll do the segment, but it'll be Elizabeth Warren on something else. Maybe I'll put up a vote for that on Patreon. Yeah, let's get into our next segment.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. Our next segment is called Fuck Me, and it is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. Would you like to go first?
Yeah. So I spent the week kind of disassociating and living on autopilot, where I was just like doing things, but time would skip and I'm like, oh shit, I was doing something, but I don't really remember what I was doing, kind of. And I was really in tune with my internal monologue. Yeah, it was really just me talking to people, but I wasn't even really focusing on what they were saying. And it was more like my brain going, this person does this when they talk, or I wonder what they're thinking about this. Mm. But also it was the opposite, where it was just like, this person probably thinks I'm stupid, or this person. It was a lot of like realizing how self-deprecating I can be to myself. Like if I'm running late for work and I lose my keys, I'm like, you're so stupid. Like, did it, like things that I'm saying,
right,
and I stopped and I was like, that's weird. And when you're not like paying attention to other things happening. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know why I was like this week. Sometimes that happens to me. Like I go into waves. Sometimes I'm like really happy, like for no reason. I don't know why. And then other times I'm like disassociating, which is what it was. Like, I know I'm alive, but it's not, I don't know how I got to certain places, basically. But, and yes, therapy, I'm working on that, guys. I'm working on it. That being said, realizing how negative I could be to myself has made me realize that I'm also in denial about a lot of things. Like, I will say that I'm okay with something. I know I'm an emotional person, but I don't want to be. And I think I've become so so denial based, where I'm like, that didn't bother me, that didn't bother me, that didn't bother me, and I'll say it over and over again, thinking that that's what will cause me to not be bothered by it. Meanwhile, it is fucking infuriating to me.
Yeah.
I get jealous like any other person would, and to me, and it's like, I had a moment where I experienced jealousy, but I was just like, nah, I'm good, like I don't care. But I don't have to lie to myself, so it was fucking strange that I was doing that to myself. And I stopped in that moment because in my head I was like, no, you do care. Mind you, this is me talking to myself. It's been all week, so that's how it's been. But I was like, you got to just say you do care, but you'll get over it. This is why you feel this way. And then it'll just like, time will pass and you'll figure it out. But it's just like, I realize how much more effort I put into getting over something, because I'll spend the first hour or 2 hours or day denying its existence in the first place, because it feels weak, or it feels like I shouldn't care about certain things. I started to realize a lot of the things that I assume people think or are saying to me are projections of what I think about myself. And that's tough, because I'm just like, I don't know what to do with that. I spend a lot, like when people are speaking, I walk into rooms and I think everyone hates me all the time, and it doesn't make it. So it's that. And that's me been battling that for the week, I guess, because there has been no outside like penetration other than me talking to myself. But I guess I'm making some type of progress in terms of just like realizing that that's the track that I'm on. I'm trying to steer from being codependent in that sense, because I can't expect, I don't know, after you've been burned, you kind of just like, I'm never going to lean on anyone that much again. So while I do have support and people to listen to me, I also feel like there's certain things that I have to do to help myself, and I can't always lean on the person that I'm with, which is what I used to do. I think I talked about this, what I used to do in the past, and I've learned from that. And it's something I'm working on, you know, that it is what it is. Yeah.
Okay. It's fine to not have a light at the end of the tunnel,
you know?
in your telling of this, but I think like the fact that you're even able to acknowledge this is like pretty tremendous in my opinion.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Me and Rob were talking this morning, and I was telling them that like I had built a depression den around me, and I woke up this morning, I could actually see it, and I was like, holy shit, my room is crazy. So I did some cleaning today, so that was good.
Good for you.
Pretty, it's little things, you know.
Rob is coming to the mic.
I'm here because I was like mad lonely and shit, and I'm like, I need to hang out with my friends. So I left my house. It took me 6 hours to leave the house, but I did it.
Be like that sometimes.
It do. I also built a depression nest. So me and Rebecca, we chatted this morning, giving each other motivation and big ups for everything that we did. So I was like, you cooking breakfast? All right, I'm cooking breakfast. Good job. I'll check back on you. I sent a picture of my breakfast. She sent a picture of her room. I also have a depression nest. I have some plates on my bedroom floor.
It be like that sometimes.
It do. Some shit is everywhere, but you know, I'm out here, and I start my medication management next week, so hopefully things change. I don't remember anything. I have people telling me the same thing over and over again. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's been annoying, because then you feel like insufficient. You feel like you're not trying hard enough. Like, Leon would tell me something. He's like, I already told you. It's like, yo, I'm sorry, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So, you know, life's been here.
Okay.
That's it. I'm gonna shake my booty tonight. All right, bye.
Thank you for updating us, Rob. I appreciate both of your transparency.
Thank you.
And, you know, I've been there, so I feel you. And I'm sure many other listeners have also been there, judging from what they write in sometimes.
Yeah.
And they also feel you and appreciate you. So thank you.
That's why I do it. Otherwise, you would never hear that. No, that's not true. But yeah, I know it helps me to connect with people. And I know other people listen and they're like, oh shit, other people are going through this. And that's what's important, that human connection. Because that's all we got.
Yeah. I'm a robot, so I don't have a human connection.
It's a fact.
And to try to mitigate that, I created something called the How Samantha Got Her Groove Back Challenge, where I go on one date every week and report back to you how it is. Last season, I gave you cute dates. This season, you give me some control where I go on the dates. Let's get my groove back together. On that, this past week's date, I did not go, son. I did not do it.
Did you?
I fucking failed.
Did you not plan a date and just didn't do it, or did you have a date and you didn't go to it?
The first one. Okay. I didn't have a date.
I thought you like canceled on a nigga. It was like, fuck you.
Boy, let me tell you, this whole like 5 weeks of this I've been wanting to do because I hate people and I hate leaving my house and I hate cold and I don't have a car. So
yeah, I feel you on that one.
All of those things. So I didn't have time to plan a date with anybody this week. But also, like, you kind of have time for what you make time for. Yeah. You make time for what you want to. And I don't want to do that shit. I am going out tomorrow, though. So don't hate me for not keeping this up this whole time. I will say, and this is just something that I wrote down at the top of the week, just in case this did happen, so I would have something to talk to. I've realized that if we're talking like in a romantic sense or whatever, or courting, blah, 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 dates, whatever, if you complain to me about the same thing 3 times, then I hate you. Oh. And I don't know what to do with that.
Like,
niggas talk about, and I've said this on like 2 episodes this season already, because this is like the most I'm talking to people in a while, but niggas like talk about work a lot.
Yeah.
And it is very, very boring and annoying to me. And I don't know if like I know I'm a bad person. I do already actually know that, but I don't know if that makes me a bad person or how to navigate that. Or but like, if you talk to me about how much you hate your job, or if you're like going through a hard time right now, like financially, and you're
I was
not
gonna say my nigga.
No, but I'm not talking about my friends. Like, I'll hold space for you, but if I don't know you and I'm trying to get to know you, and the only thing you're telling me is that like you're financially strapped, first of all, I'm like,
well,
I don't want to fucking I don't want to hang out with you. You're financially strapped. That's not fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, I know that capitalism is hard and that sucks, but like,
yeah, it's literally,
don't tell me
as
that
fucked up as it sounds, and I don't mean this in a really fucked up way, but it's also literally not your problem. It's not your problem.
Yeah.
And like, you can empathize with the problem, but it's not my so battle. Much. It's not your battle.
In the words of
our dear friend,
the infamous fucking Lloyd.
It's not my battle. It's not your battle, bro.
It's definitely not my battle how much you fucking hate your manager.
And it's like, I can hear you, but I'm not there. And at that point, I literally can't be like, oh my God, yeah, I hate Joey too, because I don't.
I don't know this nigga. Joey might be better than you.
He might be a good guy.
Joey might have the money that you don't have because he's your manager. So maybe Joey should.
Maybe Joey should hit me up. I get that. I get what you mean. I like to listen to people's problems just because, like,
fascinating. Tell me more.
It's weird. It's like, one, it distracts me from my own, I guess, and I don't have to like talk about myself and be weird because I can be very awkward. And I know once I start talking about myself, I double over what I'm saying. Like, I'll be like, oh, I'm like, yeah, I feel kind of sad today, but you know, like that, like really weird.
Okay.
So like, when people are really concise and they have a story they're passionate about, I'm like, all right, tell me more. But that's the first time. So I get what you mean. Like, yeah, I'm fascinated. But then if I talk to you, we exchange advice, and then I talk to you the second time and it's the same thing. Then right. It's like, oh, okay. Did you try some of this stuff? Did you, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that you said exchange advice. I don't offer
You don't
it.
Do that.
No.
Okay. I don't offer unsolicited advice, but I will
if
ask.
I think that I actually have something to like benefit you on, mm-hmm. then I'll say, would you care for some unsolicited advice? But like, the advice is like, don't work there anymore. And that's not good advice. So no. Damn. Like, okay. Damn, that sucks. And then you come to me the next day with the same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't like that either.
Damn, that also sucks. Like, that sucks to the third power. Like, what do we...
People need space to vent, but they also
need it's not me, though. It's not fucking me. It's not me, because I don't know
fine.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, how are you going to build anything or, like, get revved up to go out with anyone if that's, like, all
if you...
If you
know that that's what you're going to.
Right. And then that made me think, like... Is that all niggas talking? You know when you like look at two people and you're like, what do y'all be talking about? So now I pose it to you, the listeners. What do y'all be talking about?
What do niggas be talking about? People. Niggas is, again, genderless.
Gender neutral, yeah.
I don't know. And I've started to become... As I get older, I'm telling you, it's like really this big joke when I think about being an adult, because I'm like, there's nothing to any of this stuff. What are you talking? We talk about stuff.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
think we definitely talk about stuff as like a friend group in general, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. When I step outside of that, it's really complaining and like,
yeah,
it's really about nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that. That is my fuck me, and that is it for the fuck me segment. Yeah, write in. What do you guys be talking about?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What's a quality conversation and also something that you find annoying that people do when they talk?
Ooh, pet Both. Peeves.
Yeah.
Talking to people's pet peeves. All right, let's go on to our next segment. It is called Fuck You, and is the segment about your sex life and dating lives. If you'd like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ichupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. Drop us a line at 404-491-9158. Once again, that's 404-491-9158. No one's leaving voicemails, and as someone with like phone fear, which is so weird because like I have to use the phone all the time for work, are you scared that I'm going to answer the phone if you leave a voicemail? Because I'm not.
No one will answer
and
the phone.
I wouldn't do that. I would never do that.
You will not have to speak to a person.
I do not want to speak to you. I just want to record what you say and then play it back later. So there's no fear there if there's any concerns. All right. We have one story today. The subject line is politics and dating yikes. It is from Karima, and Karima's pronouns are she and her. This is actually in response to something that Akua and I discussed on the episode, I Was Ghosted by a 9/11 Conspiracy Theorist. So you can listen back to that if you want some... context, but it's pretty straightforward. So Karima writes, hey hoes, I'm a 29-year-old queer black femme woman. Love the podcast. While I don't usually write in, the topic of politics and dating has come up multiple times over the past few months between me and my best friend. I tend to have a long a pretty long list of no's when it comes to politics. No, I won't date a Republican, a self-identified quote-unquote respectable Black person, and a myriad of other labels that signify trash-ash politics rooted in white supremacist patriarchy. But that also means I go long quote-unquote periods of time without dating because I would rather be alone than annoyed. As a person that falls somewhere near but not on the demisexual spectrum, I'm fine with that because I need to not hate you in order to date you, bars, even casually.
This nigga spittin'.
One area I've tried to give some quote-unquote leeway. You say mad quotes. It's very funny. One area I've tried to give some leeway to is the rampant biphobia a lot of folks perpetuate. Sometimes if a person admits they know it's fucked up and they're quote-unquote working on it, I may be able to give them a pass, but 100% of the times I've tried that, they later prove their other politics are also trash and I end up disliking them. So I wrote no biphobes, etc. on my online dating profiles, and the ain't shit niggas usually weed themselves out. And even though the bar is literally in hell in terms of what I'm looking for, it's still pretty difficult to meet halfway decent niggas. Oh well, I literally ordered a bougie-ass vibrator, and I'm sure it'll take me through my dry spell winter. Good luck on dating, though. The though kind of made me laugh.
Exclamation point.
Good for you, Sam. And then they write, and although my opinion definitely doesn't matter on your personal lives, I think that exceptions are made for people and their politics because we're all human and some of us desire companionship or just getting out of the fucking house sometimes, and that's okay. Appreciate y'all in the conversations. Karima.
Biphobia. Yeah, fucking rampant. Mm-hmm. It's constant. And I think even I said something as a result of so much biphobia in a couple of episodes ago when I was like,
shit happens.
Yes. Literally shit happens. Yes. When I was like, oh yeah, I finally ate pussy. So I'm really gay. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's almost as if I didn't believe myself because so many people had been saying that if I didn't do this or if I didn't do that, my sexual attraction to someone doesn't matter. Biphobia is like such a real tangible thing. Yeah. It's annoying. It's annoying as hell. You feel like you have to be more gay. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? I don't know.
Right.
But you have to like throw it in conversations where you otherwise wouldn't.
By the way, I'm gay.
Yeah. Like, and I find myself doing that. Like if I'm with a group of people and I know everyone's like queer or something like that, I'd be like, that person over there is pretty attractive, huh? Like, just kind of making it a conversation so that they know I'm one of them. Because I guess otherwise, if they're not watching me literally eat a vagina or something
a
other
vulva.
Than... Yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not eating a whole... Maybe. You know? Anyway, yes.
What?
If they're not seeing me, like, in it, there's no other way that they'll know.
Right.
So yeah, I do like the idea of just saying like no biphobes because if we have to have that conversation, then you clearly don't understand what queerness and bi-ness and pan and all that type of stuff or anything other than being straight is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad attraction. I wish I had the strength to go through a dry winter. just because
apparently you do not.
Yeah, I've fucked people that I thought were terrible people. I'm not a demisexual, so. Like, while I do want to like someone, I can fuck somebody I don't like. And then afterwards, I'll be like, damn, I let that person into me.
It's a soul tie. Whatever.
Yeah, I hate that.
I think, like, and this is, like, what I talked about on that episode, but to just reiterate, and I'm becoming more comfortable in this because that episode I was just, like, very, like, uncomfortable with saying that out loud, especially, like, in this space where I feel like, to a certain extent, we're thought leaders. I'm not, like, I feel like politics are a spectrum. And while if I'm on the white side, why would I say that? If I'm on the fucking Black side, I'm not going to, because, you know, the
white
you just
is meant black
and
white. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is what I meant. But like, I should still go to the Black side.
Yeah. No matter what.
Black History Month. If I'm on the Black side, I'm not going to date or talk to engage with anybody on like the opposite end of the spectrum. Because that what is going to happen?
Exactly.
We're at a fucking impasse. But like, I feel like there are shades of gray. Mm-hmm. And depending on what you're looking for and what you can deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be motherfuckers in the gray because like I don't really know that many people who are like in the Black in terms of like what Black is to me. And I'm not talking about race. I'm talking about like my personal politics.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm shades of gray all day.
Yeah.
Bars.
It's motherfucking spin. I love those fucking memes.
Yeah, those are really good.
I feel like you're valid in your stance. Thank you for sharing. I agree. For the biphobists out there.
Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah.
I wonder if Molly has a template for that, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah. Molly. If not, make one. Molly,
figure it
out. Yeah. Okay. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone know you love these hoes. We appreciate you all.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hole Uprising without the G on Twitter and Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. InnerHoleUprising.com to pay a hoe or to check out our merchandise. And if you would like to follow me, Rodeca, you can follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram or Exist and Crisis on Twitter.
Very good stuff. You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Sam, by the way, and you can follow me on Instagram for travel and food photos at Carmen San Diego. Goodbye.
Bye.